From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 13. Behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. Strange enough this regulation appears, yet there was wisdom in it, for the throwing out of the disease proved that the constitution was sound. This morning it may be well for us to see the typical teaching of so singular a rule. We too are lepers, and may read the law of the leper as applicable to ourselves. When a man sees himself to be altogether lost and ruined, covered all over with the defilement of sin, and no part free from pollution, when he disclaims all righteousness of his own, and pleads guilty before the Lord, then is he clean through the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. Hidden, unfelt, unconfessed iniquity is the true leprosy. But when sin is seen and felt, it has received its death blow, and the Lord looks with eyes of mercy upon the soul afflicted with it. Nothing is more deadly than self-righteousness, or more hopeful than contrition. We must confess that we are nothing else but sin, for no confession short of this will be the whole truth. And if the Holy Spirit be at work with us, convincing us of sin, there will be no difficulty about making such an acknowledgment. It will spring spontaneously from our lips. What comfort does the text afford to those under a deep sense of sin? Sin mourned and confessed, however black and foul, shall never shut a man out from the Lord Jesus. Whosoever cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast out. Though dishonest as the thief, though unchaste as the woman who was a sinner, though fierce as Saul of Tarsus, though cruel as Manasseh, though rebellious as the prodigal, the great heart of love will look upon the man who feels himself to have no soundness in him, and will pronounce him clean when he trusts in Jesus crucified. Come to him then, poor, heavy-laden sinner. Come needy. Come guilty. Come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are.
Crucifixion, fountains all.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series based on Psalm 138 as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the first part of verse 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Here we see David's confidence that God cares for his creation. David realized that whatever trouble he was suffering was only temporary. He knew that whatever concerns us also concerns the Lord. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, God always tries the man he intends to use, even as gold is tried in a furnace. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Trouble is temporary. David recognized that. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm not turning there, for I don't want to start off on another tangent and preach in 2 Corinthians 4. But if you read the last verses of that chapter, you'll see that that is a thought that thrilled the heart of the Apostle Paul in a day when he was beset about by trouble. When physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, he was in the hottest battle, when he felt his whole body, as it were, under the working of death, yet he rejoiced that these things are only for a season. Our light affliction, he says, is but for a season. Trouble is temporary. And David therefore knew not to judge anything before the time, not to jump to foolish conclusions because he was in temporary trouble. However, daunting the short-term outlook, he knew the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That's a wonderful truth. It's true immediately. The Lord will constantly work in me, through me, and for me. The Lord will constantly work in the circumstances to which I am subjected. He will do it throughout life. He will do it through death. And he will do it for all eternity. Ultimately. And let's understand, the things that are not seen now, they are the eternal things. And therefore, eternally, what God has set before his people is the endless, absolute perfection that he has planned, purchased, and purposed for his people. We have a saying that all's well that ends well. And that's precisely what was filling the heart of David at that time. He was looking at the full picture, thrilled at the thought of what the Lord would do for him. This morning we read in Romans 8, because I think that we may look in this text as the Old Testament equivalent of those words of Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's Paul's way of putting it. David's way of putting it was simply, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Let me remark that what concerns us concerns the Lord. What concerns us concerns the Lord. By concern, of course, when I say concerns us, that may mean it is our business, it has to do with us. It also may mean it worries us. I do not mean that it worries God, for there are no creases on the brow of the eternal. There are no wrinkles of worry on the eternal countenance. God knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. And he's working on time and on plan. Never forget it. When I say what concerns us concerns God, I mean that it is not only our business, but it is his business. And he makes our business his business. You remember that when Saul of Tarsus set out to persecute the Christians in Damascus, He'd already wrought terrible depredations among the believers in and around Jerusalem and Judea. Now he was setting out to do even further damage to the people of God. He had murder in his heart. He had viciousness in his soul. He had intentions to destroy left, right, and center. He was going to bring men bound to Jerusalem. He had particular people in view, and he knew what he was going to do to them. But as he was on his way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus stopped him, and he asked him a question. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now the people whom Saul had personally afflicted, the people upon whom he had visited terrible pain and punishment, were just ordinary flesh and blood individuals. But the Lord Jesus said, Saul, in killing Stephen, you were persecuting not just Stephen, but me. Now in hunting down my people, you are not simply persecuting them, you are persecuting me, because their business is my business. You remember that in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16:22, the Lord says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. So closely does the Lord identify with his people indeed that he not only calls them his people, but he actually calls their work his work. In Psalm 57, the psalmist said in the second verse, I'll cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Isaiah the prophet tells us in chapter 26, 12, thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Now it's easy to read those things without really, simply, fully grasping what the Word of God is saying. The Lord is working in our affairs. Sometimes it's hard for us to see. Sometimes it's harder indeed for us to feel. But the Lord is working in all our affairs. He is making it his business. Now, when you realize that it's his business, you will realize some things come as a necessary consequence. Number one, their outcome is going to display his total sovereignty. Because if he's working in all our affairs, and if he can guarantee, as he does here, that he will perfect that which belongs to every Christian, every believer, you see, the outcome of that is God is absolutely in control of everything that is happening in this world, no matter who the human actor is. Our God is the sovereign controller of it all, and he is making it his business to perfect the things concerning his people. So the outcome is not in doubt. The result is absolutely assured. Our business is his business, and he'll display his sovereignty over all heaven, earth, and hell as he perfects that business. It also tells you, of course, how foolish and futile it is for us to let what concerns us concern us. In other words, to let our business worry us. Now, we have all much to do, and it's very, very easy to get down under it. There's nobody more prone to do that than I am. Sometimes I put on such dark glasses that I think I have no sight left at all. That's when my wife usually comes to the rescue and preaches a strong, personalized sermon. Every husband knows how good wives are at that kind of preaching. And I'd be the first to confess that I have needed it. So we're all in the same boat here. We allow our business to worry us. But listen, at the end of the day, what concerns you concerns the Lord. What do you do with it, therefore? Instead of worrying about it, you bring it to the Lord. Now, I'm not giving you some little mantra that you say, oh, Lord, I give this over to you, and you're like some charismatic nutcase, and you forget immediately about your problems and your troubles, and they're all gone. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when the truth of this really reigns in the heart, and you can come to the Lord and not simply utter the words, but get before Him, say, Lord, this business of mine is your business. You've promised to bring it to perfection. You've promised to bring perfection out of this. Now that opens up a whole big avenue of thought that I really don't have time to go down this morning. The Lord Jesus was made perfect through suffering. He was not made morally perfect, for He was that already. But He became the fully, if I could use the word, the fully equipped Savior through suffering. In other words, He couldn't save without suffering. He couldn't be fully equipped for the work to which God had set His hand without suffering. You know, there's a very real sense in which that's true in every one of us. No man has ever amounted to anything in the work of God without going through the dark valley of suffering and proving God. It is there. It is there and only there that we are cut adrift from our pride, our arrogance, our self-reliance, and our self-promotion, and we're brought to the dust before God to glorify Him, whatever the outcome of our daily sufferings, whatever the depth of our daily affliction. It is in that place where God will prove us, and we will prove Him. And He will perfect that which concerns us. We bring it to Him with that assurance. This is what He said He'll do. You realize this? And again, it's easy to say. There is a purpose, therefore, in what you're enduring. Not some mere fate. Not some mere accident. But there is a divinely ordained purpose in what you're enduring. And again, there are times when that is hard to see and harder still to feel. But it's the truth of this text. He will perfect that which concerneth me for what concerns us is His business.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.